quite often that people feel like they're completely alone. It's a reality of the world that we live in, that we feel that we have nobody that's backing us up or holding our hands as we walk through the paths of life. It sounds a little bit deeper than it actually is. Nesilas Yesharim in the first parak explains very clearly that we have expectations of this world that are just not true, just completely unwarranted expectations. What I mean by that is that people have this expectation when it comes to this world that things should just be perfect, things should just work out well. And the truth is, this world is never meant to be perfect. It's never meant to be in a way that things work out in the best way. You could be zocha to a tremendous amount of siyata deshmaya in this world, and things could go really well. But it's clear that even when things seem to go well, you can still find complaints, you'll still have issues. And the reason why is because that's what Olam Hazeh is. It's not Olam Haba. We were not expecting to get Olam Haba. That's not what the world is all about. Let's start from the beginning. Parak Dalid Pasuk Aleph. Kayin says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that Gadol Avoni means so, that my sin is too great to bear. He says that he's going to have to wander the world, Nav Anud, throughout the land searching for food. And this says, anybody who finds Kol Motzi Hargeni, anybody who finds me is going to kill me, says Kayin. Kayin says, there's no way that I can handle this. I can't handle the world that's there in front of me. It's crazy, isn't it? Kayin's speaking to God. Kayin is in the midst of an nevuah with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, something that all of us have dreamed of, to have an actual conversation with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And in the midst of this conversation where he is talking to God, while in the midst of that conversation, he says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, no, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's not good enough. Gadol Avonim means so. It's not going to be good enough. HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells him, in Tetiv Seis, you can do better. That was beforehand. In Tetiv Seis, and Kayin says, no, it's too much. I can't do anything. There's nothing I can do. I'm done. There's no way I'm going to be able to handle anything. It's amazing. But you see what you learn from that? You can be in the midst of an Nevuah speaking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and yet you're still not convinced that everything's working out in the best way for yourself. That's an unreal limud from Kayin. Unbelievable. Even Hevel didn't speak to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Even Hevel didn't have a conversation, let alone two conversations with Hashem. Kayin had two conversations with Hashem. One before he killed Hevel and one after he killed Hevel. He had a conversation with God after he killed someone. The first murderer has a conversation with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's a thought that's beyond us, that just it's beyond anything. But it shows that you'd think that being a Navi, having a direct conversation with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, being told what to do by God, being told how you can fix yourself, is still not good enough for us in this world. That even when we feel that closely connected, like we feel that there's something strange, just there, we feel the Hashkacha Pratis smiling down at us, we can still do wrong, we can still do badly, and we still mess up. And that, I gotta tell you, that's sad. But that's what this world is. It's a sad, sad world. You ever get into a conversation with somebody and you know that you should calm down a little bit or you shouldn't say what you're about to say, but you're going to say it anyway just because your mind is telling you, don't do it, don't do it, don't do it, don't do it, don't do it. And you just say it. You go ahead and say it. That's, I don't want to say it's comparable. It's not, nothing is comparable to talking to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. I think we all know that. But that's the same. May Indian la Indian bozo Indian. Same type of idea. You know what's right. You know what's wrong. You know what you're supposed to do and what you're not supposed to do. And you have to... And nonetheless, sometimes we go a little bit too far. That's human nature. That's what we see in ourselves. Even when we're in the midst of a conversation. I can't get over it. You can't get over it. Even in the midst of a conversation with a Kadosh Baruch Hu. That leads us to a different discussion. We're living in a world of Hester Panim. We're living in this world after Esther Amalka had the very last of the Nevuos of the Sfarim to bring about the 24th Sefer of Tanakh. Even though technically Divrei Hayamim was written later, and technically Ezra Nehemiah and maybe even Daniel was written after Esther, but Esther Amalka, Megillas Esther is the last of the Sfarim to be put inside the 24th Sfarim of Tanakh. In our world, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu purposely hides his face and does not let us in, In this world, he puts our lives and all of our decisions in our very incapable hands and allows us to make all decisions, to say everything of what's going to be. So this is the discussion. Do we believe that there's a God? So I would assume that everybody here is going to answer yes. We believe that there's a God. That's not the issue. So yes, we believe that there is a God. Fine. Do we understand his methods? No. There's no one here that can say that they understand his methods. Do we sometimes see things after the fact where we can look back at it and say, I get why that happened? Yeah. There's no question. There are people here, some people that are not here, that have had situations, let's just say, shidduchim-wise, where they couldn't understand why this is happening to them and why that was happening to them, but it led them into the situation that they're in right now or the situation that they're going to be in. And after the fact, you look back at it and you say to yourself, now I sort of understand. That wasn't the right thing. That wasn't the right person. And I was being convinced that that was the right person, or I thought that that was the right person, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows better than I am. There's no question that there are situations that happen that way. Is there anyone that has never understood a single thing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does for them? Is there anybody that's like that? Not in this room. I don't think there is here. Maybe in the world, you'll find somebody like that. The world is about a Yerida L'tzorech Aliyah. You're going to have a Yerida, you're going to go down a little bit, and eventually you're going to bring yourself back up. And the key is to climb up and to stay up as high as you possibly can. The world is about finding a way for you to be matzliach with all of your talents and everything that you have, and to be matzliach in such a way that there's no question that HaKadosh Baruch Hu allowed you to be in the right position at the right time. That's the way of success. Consider it as a mushel of a stormy sea. And the boat, the rickety boat that you have, that little rickshaw boat that you have, that's sitting at sea, is going up and down along the waves. And it's easier when you're riding those waves to have a huge boat in front of you that's able to make the path in front of you, make it a little bit easier, but it doesn't always happen that way. And you're gonna be going up against the waves, and sometimes you drown a little bit, but eventually all boats float. And the boat is going to come to the surface, and the boat is eventually going to make it up there. Let's talk about the parsha. This week's parsha, Moshe Rabbeinu gives Bnei Yisrael bracha. Listen, there's so much to talk about in Vayakub Pekudei, even though you say to yourself, it's the same repetition, the same thing that we've had before. But you go into everything that happens in Shmuel Tzavah, and then you go through it again. There's so much to talk about, and the reasons why we have to go through it again. Moshe Rabbeinu sees what happens to Klal Yisrael, and he gives them a bracha. He gives them a bracha. Vayavarech Osam Moshe. And Rashi tells us what the bracha is. Yehi Ratzon, he says. Yehi Ratzon. Right? That the greatness, that the HaKadosh Baruch Hu should be with you in everywhere you go. That's the first part of the bracha. And the second part of the bracha, V'hi Noam Hashem Elokeinu Aleinu Maisi Adenu Koneneyu Maisi Adenu Koneneyu. Okay. We have that line. V'hi Noam. So Chassam Sofer asks, those lines are a stira to one another. They seem to be contradictory. Because the first line is, may it be God's will, right? That God is with us in everywhere, everything we do and everywhere we go. Well, the second line, V'hi Noam Hashem Elokeinu Aleinu, is seemingly after the fact, after Maisia Deinu Koneneyu, after our handiwork is done, after we do what we're supposed to do, then the pleasantness of God will be upon us. So you see this theorem? At first, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was telling, Moshe Rabbeinu was telling Klal Yisrael, I want HaKadosh Baruch Hu to be with you. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should be with you in everything you do. But it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu doing it. That Hashem should be ruling and taking care of and doing everything instead of you doing it and the opposite. The second thing, V'hi Noam, is where HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, so to speak, it's you're doing it and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is just adding himself on. So what's pshat between these two, and why is Moshe Rabbeinu saying it this way? Pshat is that Moshe Rabbeinu did not understand what was happening with the Mishkan. We know one thing that Moshe Rabbeinu made. Anybody here know what that thing is? What did Moshe Rabbeinu make? The menorah, right? He made the menorah. But the Medrash tells us that he never really made the menorah. Took a block of gold, said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I have no idea what to do. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, just throw it into the fire. He threw it into the fire and it came out. as a menorah. And everything was just made for him. He did absolutely nothing. On the other hand, nothing else in the Mishkan happened that way. The Aron Kodesh was created by Bezalel himself, taking care of all the little bits and pieces. The Kruvim, even though I would assume, I'm not positive, but I would assume that chiseling out the Kruvim from a big block of gold would be harder than creating the menorah. Maybe it's the same. I don't know. I'm not a goldsmith. I have absolutely no idea. But I would assume that the Kruvim were just as hard, if not harder. You had to even chisel it out from the little Kaporis. It couldn't be Kruvim and Kruvim and then added on to the Kaporis, added on, fused on. No, it had to be out of the Kaporis. You have to chisel out the Kruvim. I would assume that's just as hard. But nonetheless, Bezalel had no problem making the Kruvim. No problem making the Kruvim, no problem making the Aron, no problem making the Kaporis, even though gold is malleable and should have caved in. Nonetheless, it all stayed as it was. It seemed to have all worked. There were no problems with the Shulchan, no problems with the crushing, even though these beams were absolutely huge. There were no issues with anything else. The clothing of the Kohen Gadol, which seems to be extremely intricate, and putting down, making the letters inside the stones of the Choshen without any use of a metal kli. You'd think that that would be impossible. Maybe HaKadosh Baruch Hu was to be involved with that, but Moshe Rabbeinu is looking at everybody else and everyone's doing it themselves. There's no HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, throw it into the fire and out it comes, like what happened by Moshe Rabbeinu in the menorah. It didn't happen that way. Everybody was working and everybody was doing it themselves, and they were working themselves. They didn't have HaKadosh Baruch Hu do these miracles. Moshe Rabbeinu saw all this and was upset. He said, why? Why didn't HaKadosh Baruch Hu get directly involved like he did with me? Why by the menorah did I throw it in and it came out and I did nothing? I had a little bit of effort. The effort of I'm going to try, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, just do it and I'll take care of it for you. While the rest of it, the stuff that's done by Klal Yisrael, HaKadosh Baruch Hu seems to have not been involved at all. So he looked at them and he blessed them and he said, Bnei Yisrael, may it be God's will that whatever you do, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should be with you. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu should always be with you. You should feel HaKadosh Baruch Hu at your side. So that when you're physically making something, you should have felt that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was there. Moshe Rabbeinu was afraid that they didn't. And throughout the Mishkan, it was all made with their own hands and that there was a chait involved and there was something there. But Moshe Rabbeinu was wrong. Bnei Yisrael came to Moshe and they told him that that's not what happened. Every time I wanted to make a stitch in the clothing and it was off a little bit, I felt my hand being moved to go to the other side. Every time I took my hammer and I was going the wrong way and I was hammering it this way, and if I would have gone that way, I would have ruined everything. My hand switched over to that way and hit it that way. I felt it, said every single Jew in Klal Yisrael, said Bezalel, said Aliyev, said all the Chachamim, all the Nashim, all the people that were involved in constructing the Mishkan and the clothing and everything, every single person said, I felt it. I felt like HaKadosh Baruch Hu was with me holding my hands the entire time. So it wasn't me. I wasn't the one doing it. It was HaKadosh Baruch Hu that was involved the entire time, who was bringing me into the right place. That's how I felt. That's the idea of Maisya Denu Konenehu. That Moshe Rabbeinu thought, Maisya Denu Konenehu, their handiwork, was Konaneo was creating it, to which they said, no. It was without a question, Vihi Noam Hashem Elokeinu Aleinu. That when Moshe Rabbeinu thought that our handiwork were the ones that was what we were doing, it was only us and it was not Hashem at all, Vihi Noam Hashem Elokeinu Aleinu. That the pleasantness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu was on us at all time and we can feel the Shekhinah. How do you feel the Shekhinah? How does that happen? How does a person get involved in such a way that he can feel the Shekhinah along with him wherever he goes? I can't answer because I don't feel like the Shekhinah is with me at all times. I can feel that there's a connection, so I can give you a little bit of that. But I'm going to tell you what the Maseilas Yesharim says and then use Rav Wolbe and Ali Shur to be able to explain it a little bit. And it's going to be quick. How often do you think HaKadosh Baruch Hu for what you have? How often do you honestly mean it when you say modim? When you say modim in your Shemon Esrei? You're bowing, there's no question, because that's an easy thing to remember. Do you have anything in mind when you're thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for Chayenu HaMisurim B'Yadecha, Nishmosenu HaPekudos Lach, Nisecha Shebachol Yom Imanu. Do you have anything in mind, or are you just running through it? I'm not blasting you. I'm saying the reality is our life is filled with so many things that we rarely, if ever, stop and think about all the good things that a Kaddish Baruch Hu has done for us. Rav Avigdor Miller was at a wedding. It was a wedding of his grandson. And while he was at the wedding, one of his other grandchildren came up to him to ask him a question. He was sitting at his table by himself. So his grandson came up to him to ask him a question and sat down at the table with him. Rav Avigdor Miller said, is it a shaila, is it a halacha that needs to be answered right now? And his grandson said, no. So he said, then if you don't mind, I'd rather not. He said, because at every wedding, I want to spend my time being makir tov to a Kaddish Baruch Hu, that my child was able to get married and is getting married to start a frum family in Klal Yisrael. He had a seder at his own grandchildren's weddings, a seder to sit down and thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I'm walking a lot now. I'm Shabbos. It's about a half hour each way, 26 minutes each way. Depending if I have my kids with me, it's 26. With me, it's 24. Okay, while I'm walking. There are times when I'm just by myself. So what do you do when you're walking for 26 minutes by yourself? So of course there's space out time. There's no question about that. Of course you're looking around and you're looking at things and things come up. But I have a Seder now. I have a Seder. The Seder is that I thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for one thing every time I walk. Now usually that adds on and that goes into a second thing and a third thing. But this is a bracha from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That although you sit there and you say to yourself, I could for sure do that even if I had a 5-minute walk. And a 25-minute walk, it gets a little bit more serious. Start realizing that you can't space out for 25 minutes straight. Well, you can, you shouldn't. And you have that Seder. And I say to myself, something simple. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, thank you so much for the ability to walk fast. I know a lot of people, and they walk really slow. And I can't stand them. I just can't. I can barely look at them. I can't understand it. How are you walking slow? And I see it all the time. And when I walk out of shul on Friday night, I'm passing by every single person. Every single person is like having their little walks home or whatever it is, and I'm just running by, leaving them in the dust, and I can't stand walking slow. Kaddish Baruch Hu, thank you so much for making me with long legs, powerful long legs, that have the ability to walk fast, right? So I don't have that issue. It's a 26-minute walk instead of a 29-minute walk or a 32-minute walk or a 35-minute walk. Thank you. I appreciate that. It's such a simple thing. When a person feels that appreciativeness, I don't think that's a word, but feels good about what HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given him, and he's makir tov for all the good things. Now, granted, you're not going to be able to do that all at once, but little by little by little, one by one, you mention one good thing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does, and another good thing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does, and a third thing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does, and you keep mentioning it one by one. If you have one per davening, you start to change in your relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's no longer he's the malevolent one, where he's out to get me, or where everything is so bad, and this world is only filled with pits and holes and crevices and things that I'm going to trip over and fall down into and mess up about. It's different. The world becomes a place that not only you can live in, it becomes a place where you actually are happy in. You want to wake up in the morning. You feel like there's things going on that you should be happy with. To be makir tov to a Kaddish Baruch Hu every day changes you as a person. That shows you a little bit more Ashgacha Pratis. Let's look back at Cain. Cain was a person who looked at a Kaddish Baruch Hu in a negative sense. He was speaking to God. How in the world do you think negatively when you're speaking to God? And from that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is showing us an unreal lesson. If your thoughts are all negative, if you can never see the good, you're only looking at the bad, then granted, yes, even when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is talking to you, you can still have negative thoughts. Unreal. But yes, that can happen. When you start recognizing the fact that you wake up You're able to move, you can talk, you can see, you can breathe, you can eat, you can hear. That's a totally different level. Rav Victor Miller writes two parshas ago that it's one thing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the ability to eat. Okay, fine. But he didn't have to make anything good tasting. Everything could have tasted like sawdust. It could have been that way. Everything could taste like castor oil and a plain piece of bread. The fact that there are such things as Reese's peanut butter cups is an unreal tova of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that could not be imagined in any world if not for the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted us to feel better about something that we have to do. I'm not saying you have to eat Reese's peanut butter cups. I'm just saying you're normal if you do. It's a different world when you start realizing it and appreciating it for what it is and not for what went wrong or what needs to be worked on. That brings you closer. That allows you to have that type of a connection. And that makes you feel like HaKadosh Baruch Hu is with you. When Bnei Yisrael were building the Mishkan, yes, they could have looked at it as, oh man, Moshe is really asking for it. He wants us to sew. He wants us to build. He wants us to make this. How in the world am I going to do this? That's how they could have gone about it. They could have gone about it in a negative way, and they could have made it horrible. They could have complained, but they didn't. They looked at it and they asked for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we want to do this. We're happy about this. Thank you for giving us the opportunity to build a Mishkan for you. Thank you for the opportunity for work. And because of that, they felt the Shekhinah on their hands. They felt the Shekhinah working with them, pushing them in the back. And that's what they said, V'hi Noam Hashem Elokeinu Eloheinu. Now do you understand why on Motzei Shabbos, right before we go into our work week, we say V'hi Noam? We start off with V'hi Noam? It's the part of Shul where everybody hates. It's Motzei Shabbos, Shemona Esrei is over, you assume everything's done. You just want to get Kaddish, Eloheinu, and you're out. And then all of a sudden, V'hi Noam Hashem Elokeinu Eloheinu, Ma Yisrael Kana Na Eloheinu. The funny part is that seemingly, right, that shouldn't be there. We should just do V'at HaKadosh. Say the holiness of God and be done. But the pshat is, V'hi Noam Hashem Elokeinu Eloheinu, when I'm working, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, for the rest of the week, when I'm in my work week, and I'm doing what I need to do in order to make Parnassah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, allow me to see you by my side. Allow HaKadosh Baruch Hu to be with me in everything I do. The bracha that Moshe Rabbeinu gave them after the Mishkan is the bracha that should apply to us, should be chal on us when we do our work. And the only way for that to happen is to be makar tov to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. For everything. For everything. And start that off in the right way. So I'm suggesting, for right now, to sit for 20 seconds and to think to yourself. Think one thing. One thing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did for you that's good. It could be something as simple as walking. Something as complicated as what I ended up doing throughout morning, say to this morning. Anything. But to sit for 20 seconds and to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for something that he did for you just today. Just today. And with that, we're going to end.